Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming out to Comic Book Club Live. Please give it up for your hosts, Alex and Pete.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Pete.
And that's our man of the booth, Boothman Prime.
Boothman Prime!
How you doing today, Boothman Prime? You're excited. This is a huge week. Lots of stuff to be excited for. You feeling good?
I'm so excited.
Yeah? Are you excited about Friday? Some big stuff's happening for comic book fans on Friday.
It's my birthday this week, and ooh. I am more excited for Friday because of Luke Cage than
Hells
I am for my birthday.
Yeah. Oh, there we go. You're celebrating your birthday the right way. It's the birth of a
Luke
new generation
Cage.
Of superheroes. So there you go. So yeah. More important than your birthday. But also,
happy birthday. Happy birthday, man.
There you go.
Thanks,
we got
guys.
You a show.
Woo!
Yeah, there we go. All right.
So Pete. you've seen 7 episodes, you piece of fucking shit.
Okay.
And none of us have seen anything of Luke Cage.
Uh-huh.
Your grimace backstage is you were just staring into my soul, just being like, I know something you don't know. It was driving me insane.
None of that is true, first of all.
Okay. Sure.
See, I was going to start off the show talking about how you wake up every morning watching the Luke Cage trailer.
I do.
You're so excited for it.
Yes.
And isn't that great? And
yeah.
Instead, you turned it into something bad.
Wow. Damn you, Selvin.
Yeah. Well, all right. To make it up for you, you want me to just, like, spoil a couple of things?
No, don't you dare.
Just, like, a couple of things.
No.
All right.
Don't.
So,
don't.
All right.
Don't.
His name is Luke Cage.
Seriously, don't play with my emotions like this.
No,
I don't want to.
No, I won't spoil it with anything. I will say, though, for those of you who are looking forward to it, continue to look forward to it because it's amazing. It's great. It's better than you expected. It deals with some very deep stuff, but more than anything, it is a fun superhero show with some ridiculous music.
It's Cannot wait.
There you go.
Which
he dies in the
show.
Second episode.
Oh, okay. My God.
All right, guys, I'm very excited about the guests that we have on the show. They are both from a wonderful place called TechCrunch. Ladies and gentlemen.
A wonderful place.
Oh, wonderful, beautiful place with just hills and rainbows and everything. Brian Eater and Anthony Hall.
Yeah, welcome
to
the show, guys.
Come
welcome,
on up, guys.
Please.
Come on
please,
out.
Please, yeah, have a seat, grab
Hello.
A microphone.
Thank you so
Great
much for
to
coming.
Have you.
Thanks for coming here. Please grab a seat, grab a microphone. Come on, sit down. Guys.
Come on, sit down.
So excited to crunch some tech with you.
That was terrible, but
yeah,
thank you for having us.
You've never seen the site before, have you?
Sure. It's,
I've seen it.
You take phones
yep.
and you smash them.
Yeah. It's a
100%
phone
correct.
Smashing site.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, no. So for those who don't know what TechCrunch is, what happens on TechCrunch?
You've been there for longer than I have. I feel like you're more qualified to describe it.
Putting this on me. TechCrunch, I mean, it started out as a startup site, and it was all about startup news. And I think since then we've expanded, and basically anything tech-related, even distantly tech-related, will like find an excuse to cover it. I mean, they pay for me to fly out and like cover a Star Trek convention last month.
We write about shit we want to write about.
Yeah, we do whatever we want. I'm really selling this.
Well, you guys
do whatever we want.
You guys are like the original bad boys of tech. Is that what I'm getting here?
Yes, I think that's fair.
Yeah, we're
bad boys and bad ladies.
I'm not serious right now, Brian.
The way I contextualize a site now for my parents and yours is I explain to them, for anybody who's seen the show Silicon Valley, that in the first season of this series, they go to Disrupt to get discovered, and that's like the big convention that we put on like a week ago.
Yes, I'm still exhausted.
Yeah.
But and everyone assumes that that's a fictional convention
because
everyone's like, oh, that can't be a real thing, like where you put startups on stage and it's completely ridiculous. Like, no, that's a thing, and that's a thing we do to make money. And
it's Anthony
great.
Interviewed Mike Judge.
I did interview Mike Judge, and
wow.
he was a very nice, charming guy.
Yeah.
He was. I think I was expecting him to really come out and be like, you know, fuck startups and like it's all stupid. And he was like really sympathetic. And we talked about the fact that he's like, in Office Space, I convince people to quit their jobs. And but with like Silicon Valley, I'm convincing them to start companies and it's great. And I was like, oh, that's
wow.
not what I expected you to say.
Yeah. Cool. And in Idiocracy, I predicted the fall of the entire
yeah.
country.
I, on the other hand, cornered him at a one of the after parties and talked to him about Birthright.
Nice.
Going to Israel?
Yeah. My point is that he's a very nice and patient man.
Very good. Now, there's something that we talk about a lot on the show. Pete is a little bit more of a brick-and-mortar comic book guy.
Right.
Likes to read paper comic books. Meanwhile, I've mostly exclusively switched onto digital. You guys being both comic book fans and so in touch with tech, is there anything, how do you see things changing? Where are things going? What is actually changing how people are reading comic books right now?
Just pointing. Oh, no, go first.
Yeah. Well, yeah, no, I think it's going to be very similar to what we've seen. E-readers have gotten a bit of a head start right now, but books haven't gone away. People still appreciate reading them that way. We're going to see more and more. I think we've been seeing quite a transition over the past decade or so with content creators creating things specifically for the web. When did that Scott McCloud book, Reinventing Comics, it came out like 15 years ago or something?
Yeah, something like that.
And he was already talking about like infinite canvas and the ways in which people were going to really utilize the medium. And we're kind of sort of starting to see that. I know Anthony also recently interviewed the CEO of Comixology. They're heading in that direction. I mean, they've created some innovative ways to read comics, but at the moment it's kind of largely a repurposing of paper comics onto tablets.
Yeah, I mean, I found that anytime I've talked to like a comics artist who's doing superhero comics, like they're always still thinking about the print version first. And I can also remember, like, you know, talking to both folks at Comixology or like folks at DC or Marvel, and they would always say like, "Oh yeah, this is not going to replace the comic book store. This is totally like, you know, additive." And you sort of be like, "That's bullshit." And then I don't know. It seems like that's actually true, that there are people who love going to a comic book store. And that's not going to change. The one thing I do wonder about is, like, over time, the things that are just sort of, like, not great physical objects, I think, for example, I've, like, stopped reading, like, singles, like, in print form because they just, like, fall apart, and also because, I mean, I don't take good care of them. But I can imagine things that are, like, sort of more disposable products will start to go away, but, like, you know, just the beautiful collections and things like that, it's hard to imagine ever being completely replaced by digital.
Yeah, it's been interesting to watch this develop. I mean, we've been doing the show for almost 10 years now, and I think we've been talking about this for almost 10 years now, from Zuda Comics, where they were first launching this exciting digital initiative to, I don't think it was specifically Mark Waid, but Mark Waid was certainly on the forefront of like Thrillbrent and Infinite Comics over at Marvel, trying to come up with ways of making more interactive comics and more sounds and auditory things in comics.
Motion comics.
None of that has really caught on at all.
The key, and this is where it gets a little bit depressing. You mentioned Zuda, and I recently spoke. I think you've had Kevin and Miss on your show few times, probably. And they're doing a paper comic now, but Kevin did Zuda for a long time. And the big question that we keep coming back to is, and this has always been an issue with comics creators, particularly people on the indie side of things, is like, how do we actually make money doing that? And that's about to get a lot harder before it gets any easier. So
why is it going to get harder?
It's really hard for people to monetize that content. It's hard for them to get it in front of people, especially without the support of publishers. And like we've seen a lot of indie publishers just kind of disappear over the past 10 years.
What they got to do is they got to do sponsorship. I mean, this is what TV shows are doing, and you do it inside the comic book. So they stop for a panel and have some Taco Bell, and then they go back to whatever they're doing.
Right. Yeah.
It's easy. I don't understand. Wait,
remember the Fruit Pie comics? Remember when superheroes used to read fruit pies? Let's return to those innocent times. Yeah.
Right, or remember that great comic where Nick Lachey was eating two Twix? That was really good as well.
Yeah, that was fucking awful. That was
or
very
that,
bad.
Or it could have been. Or
you watch Luke Cage when you wake up every morning, and I read the Nick Lachey comic.
Yeah.
You know, however you want
to
start.
Whatever it takes to get you out of bed in the morning.
Yeah, exactly. Right. That's the important part, is you do make it out of bed.
Sometimes I stay in bed a little longer.
5 out of 7 days.
Yeah. Now, you were saying backstage you have a book of comics interviews, right?
No, it's oh. Sorry, I forgot about the mic.
I'm
a professional. You are so incorrect, sir. No, it's actually a book of short stories called Love Songs for Monsters, but it's from a comics publisher called Youth in Decline. They do a bunch of like indie comics. I think they're probably best known for this series called Frontier. Different artist every issue. This is the one non-comics thing they've done. They've never done anything since, so you can tell it did really well.
Cool. Well, I'm excited to check it out.
Like they went out on top is what you're saying.
That's right. They're like, we're never going to do better than this.
No, but you were describing it to me before. Nice little elevator pitch.
So everyone knows what space opera is. You know, Star Trek, right. Star Wars. I write space emo. It's basically like sad people on spaceships. if that's what you're into, you should check it out. It also, I will say, one of the things, the publisher Ryan Sands, we were talking about sort of books as like objects, and he did a great job just putting it together. Michael DeForge, the comics artist and artist on Adventure Time, he did the cover. We got Hannah K. Lee to do the like a specific logo design for each story. So, the text is garbage, but it looks great.
Oh, good. Definitely don't sell yourself short. Where can people pick it up?
Youthindecline.com.
Sweet. Right, very cool. And TechCrunch, that's on the internet now?
It's correct. We just bought our domain last week, so wait a little while.
It'll Congrats. Be those that's great.
Under mm-hmm. construction. Gifs.
Cool. I got to be honest, I still prefer going to the TechCrunch brick and mortar store. All of my tech coverage.
We hand you printed articles.
Yeah. That's how I like to get
write it out on stones.
Slightly snotty about it, too. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, exactly. Cool. All right, we're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the stack.
Yeah, we do.
Hooray. There we go. There's that music. And in the stack, we talk about some comic books that we particularly like this week, or at least want to discuss.
Yeah, want to talk about.
Yeah, we want to talk about them. First one we want to talk about is The Punisher, number 5.
Yeah!
From Marvel Woo-hoo! Comics. Now, of course, as you can tell, this was my pick.
Yep.
I'm kidding. It was Pete's pick.
That's Pete, right.
Why did you like this?
Because The Punisher's in it.
Great.
I'm just very happy with this new Punisher run. I think, it's doing a great job of doing the things that we love, but also kind of doing some different stuff as far as, like, it's got a little bit of a Steve Dillon feel.
From the fact that Steve Dillon did the art?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's one way of giving a Steve Dillon feel is to get Steve Dillon.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you can't just get Steve Dillon. Or you can have a Steve Dillon feel.
Yeah, you have a little bit of a Pete LePage feel going
Thanks.
On today.
I appreciate that. I really like the writer on this. We just get it's a classic Punisher, just hurting people and working his way up the kind of chain of command of bad guys.
Now I'm curious: are you guys Punisher fans at all? What are your feelings on the Punisher?
How do you feel about the Punisher?
He's a blind one, right?
Yeah.
He punishes people because he's angry that he's blind. Right?
Yep, exactly. Nailed it. So you love him.
Yeah, not a fan, no.
Yeah,
not a fan. The man without fear.
Yep. Still
Daredevil.
Absolutely correct.
That's Daredevil.
So, I don't know. I'm not as big of a super fan as you are,
yeah.
Pete, about the Punisher. Right. I do agree. I mean, if you're going to have somebody draw the Punisher, get Steve Dillon.
Right.
Becky Cloonan is writing this. She's doing a great job.
How long
has
she been writing the Punisher for?
Yeah.
Five issues.
There you go. This is the Punisher fighting a bunch of criminals and teaming up with cops, and cops being like, I don't approve of your methods, but I'm going to team up with you just this once. And he's like, okay, but I'm going to kill some people. And they're like, all right.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it. I don't know. It's a good, solid Punisher tale.
Right.
But it's fine.
Do you want? What do you want? More than that? No, just give me what I want. Give me a great Punisher tale. What's wrong with that?
Well, Pete, you were also saying it has a Steve Dillon feel, and I was flipping through it. And also, it's like super violent. Like it is like
right.
as somebody who like read and was really put off by Preacher, which I'm sure is like totally winning people
what
over to me.
What the fuck did you just say out loud? Yeah, that guy's leaving. The only reason I'm not walking away is because I have to be here.
But like that, I think if you like there's definitely a thing that the moment where I was like when I was reading the first. Preacher right. trade, and I was like, this is not for me.
Right.
There is a moment in that issue that is basically a copy of that.
Right. Yeah, sure. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Wait, it's are you one talking of my about the moments. Guy walking around without a face?
That is exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah.
I thought Dude's it was face maybe gets the cut guy, off. He put a grenade in the guy's mouth. I thought maybe that was what he was talking
yeah.
about.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I guess if you're picking up a Punisher book, you know what you're getting into, right?
Right.
But I just, there's been other Punisher runs that have tweaked it and changed it in some way or played around with it. This is very straightforward, which is fine. It's old, reliable Punisher.
Right, exactly.
You're mad that a book called The Punisher is about
yeah,
the Punisher.
Yeah, that's exactly.
And that he punishes that's, people.
Yeah.
It's just I liked him better when he was a Frankenstein monster.
No, fuck you piece of shit.
All right, there we go. All right, let's move on with another book that actually does change things up every single issue in a crazy way. BPRD Hell on Earth, number 145 from Dark Horse Comics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a great comic.
Well, okay, you guys clearly aren't reading it. That's fine. I'll get you caught up real quick.
Yeah, good luck with that.
All of BPRD and Hellboy, which has been going for, you know, several decades. So yep. This should be very quick. No, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, okay, so say, how do you even begin that?
Well, basically the way that you begin is the title is Hell on Earth. Hell has literally come to Earth. BPRD, the Bureau of Paranormal Research and Defense, is the last line of defense, except essentially they've given up at this point. There's yep. a gigantic, earth-shattering monster that is coming towards their home base, and they basically said, nope, we got to evacuate. That's it. We're giving up Earth. We can't do anything anymore. Mm-hmm. And we're heading towards the end of not just this title, but all of Mike Mignola's world that he's built up over decades and decades. And it's so alarming every issue because this has been set up as a heroic book where heroes can stop these insane demonic evils. Yep. And we were talking about this a bit backstage. We don't know if they're going to win. This might actually end with just a bunch of demons destroying Earth, and that's it.
Well, that's the thing. Like, each issue, you think to yourself, all right, the next issue, they got to turn it around. Like, it's got to be the issue where the heroes come through somehow. But it is literally every issue of it just getting worse and worse and worse.
This issue, three main characters die, and one of the other main characters, probably the only one who can save them, is like, I can't do this anymore. I'm going to go take a nap.
Yeah.
Like, there's a plot point of a character being like, I need to go to sleep because this is too much.
Yeah. And then there's just like a 5-page nap sequence.
Yeah, it was very satisfying.
Yeah, it really was. You know, you rest while as you're reading. It's great.
Yeah, it was refreshing.
It's every issue is more and more heartbreaking. It's just so great to see what they're going to do next. Because even if it just keeps getting worse, which I can't imagine, like, I just can't imagine, it's still so enjoyable every issue. Yeah.
So if it ends with every character dead, right, everyone on Earth in hell, would you throw the comic across the room? You'd be like, no, I respect that. I got that.
I think you'd be like, yes, that makes logical
I think you'd
plot sense.
Furiously write some fanfic. To make
But which then you would read, you know, on
right,
stage.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We were talking about this backstage, that Mignola technically, he's like technically retired. Mm-hmm. He's not writing or drawing.
Right.
Hellboy in Hell was his last,
Now he's concentrating on fine art.
Yeah, he's painting now. But, I mean, if you're Mike Mignola, don't you want to just blow the whole thing up?
I think you want to end it. You want to tie it up with a bow, probably not necessarily in a satisfying way, but in a way that makes sense logically for the story. And at this point, when you have literal hell on Earth, figuring out some deus ex machina that's going to clear everything off doesn't make any sense.
But having Hellboy maybe show up at the end to save the day so we don't have to live on hell on Earth anymore would be nice.
That would
it sounds
nice.
Like wishful thinking. I don't buy it.
Or maybe
hey,
it all like
comic books.
Takes place in a snow globe.
That would be
a nice little twist.
I would throw the comic book if that is
would
what
you?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think? I mean, Mignola has to come back and draw the final. Not the storyline, but at least the final issue,
maybe
right?
He's going to paint every panel.
That's what he's working on right now.
Yeah.
The last.
Yeah, I was about to say something rude. Not to you, to him. All right, let's move on. The Mighty Thor, number 11 from Marvel Comics.
Oh. Yeah, we got a little
there
clapping.
We go. Woohoo! This issue was crazy. Pete,
and totally insane.
I think we're going to spoil a little bit of what happened,
right?
But you want to talk about it?
Well, yeah, so we have Thor here, and in this kind of version is a
great
lady.
Great start, yep.
And you have this... their secret identity revealed, and I say in quotes because, like, we know who it is, but nobody else in the comic does. But then it's then revealed that, nope, it's the hammer that is, which I was like, what?
Right. So just to get a little
translate.
Deeper. I didn't understand any of that.
Translate what I said, please.
Yeah, because that was very Chris Farley, like, oh my God, and then what? And then
I'm aware of how I sound, thanks.
So Thor has been battling a bunch of evil businessmen, which sounds super boring, but this title has been hilarious and exciting and creative with every single issue. One of the businessmen could turn into a Minotaur, to give you an example of how that makes sense textually for Thor. So Thor is battling that. At the same time, S.H.I.E.L.D. is trying to figure out who Thor really is. is. We know Thor is Jane Foster, the original Thor's longtime lady love, but they think they figured it out. And then last issue, Jane Foster walks in to help Thor, and everybody's like, wait, huh?
Yeah.
But it turns out Thor's hammer is masquerading as Jane Foster.
Which and we're left I didn't on this, know that that could happen.
Well, that's the thing, yeah. is everybody in the issue is like, I didn't know that could happen.
Yeah.
And we're left on this cliffhanger of like, how can you do that? And they say, well, I'll explain. And then we find out that there's this huge explosion, Thor disappears, and we're going to find out next issue how this could happen.
So there's a lot of a hammer talking at the end?
There's a hammer talking. Right. A hammer talks to you. This is the first time, actually, since You Can't Touch This, that a hammer is so closely touched and talked to people.
I see. Does he hurt
that
them?
That was an MC Hammer.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how legit is he?
Too legit. There you go.
But this is like the modern version of like when like Superman and Batman and like something like Clark Kent shows up and he's like, oh, he's a robot. We built a robot.
It's like,
overnight.
It's like
it
when the
sense.
Batarang started talking at the end of Batman.
That's right.
You truly were the Dark Knight the whole time. Yeah, like that. So it's totally unexplained right now, but it's such a great, weird twist that I can't wait to see what happens
Did
next.
You ever see that Key and Peele sketch where they kept like ripping off their faces like, oh, it's me, and then eventually someone's just a gun?
I would compare this to the Key and Peele sketch where Stan Lee comes in and just like makes inanimate objects superheroes.
Like, oh, it's about the it's the hammer.
The hammer talks.
Yeah.
If you like Key and Peele, you'll love the Mighty Thor.
Yep.
That's the end.
And
thing.
You'll get all of these references.
Exactly. It's a great book, though. You definitely should be picking up. One of the most creative on the stands right now. Let's move to one of the other most creative that is ending very shortly. Chew number 58 from Image Comics.
Yeah!
Yes. So if you haven't been reading Chew so far, don't pick up this issue because it's ending in the next issue or two.
Yeah.
Basically, the idea of the book is this guy, detective named Tony Chu, who has the power of getting memories from eating things. Also, sometimes he could take like a bite out of a criminal and be able to figure out a crime. It's become this epic, global, life, world-threatening thing, but never lost sight of the fact that it's funny and weird at the same time and constantly adding new details every issue. This second to last issue, he's faced with the unenviable decision of let everybody on Earth die or eat his girlfriend and only a couple million people die.
It's a classic choice
that
we all have to make if we start seriously dating somebody.
His girlfriend who is alive?
Alive.
It's like in Sophie's Choice where she had to eat one of her children.
Right, it's exactly it.
Right, that was a good movie. Mm-hmm. She was like, I'll eat both of them.
Just half
fooled
half
you,
of each.
Nazis. there we go, you guys. That was an MC Hammer joke as well. So
also stealth Holocaust joke, which I liked.
This
turn them against me again.
He left during the preacher joke, but the Holocaust one. He's checking his phone.
This is a great book. This issue, I don't know. This is a weird thing to focus in on, but I'm a really big fan of second to last issues or second to last episodes of a TV show that take
weird.
A break, like step away from the main action and have the characters reassess what's going on. And that's exactly what happens here, that Tony decides, instead of making this decision, I'm just going to spend a nice day with my girlfriend.
Yeah.
So after issues and issues of crazy people eating each other and vampires and mutant chickens and other things, it's
robots.
Just him trying to take her on a date, but it completely works.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very touching, powerful issue. This has been a really long and very enjoyable run. I'm pretty sure I've read every issue. It was a great, powerful kind of like taking a break and assessing what's really important to him. And then, like, what's great is the writing is so good that you really have two individuals. It's not just like one person and, you know, like the relationship tool to move the plot forward. Like, you're feeling both sides of the story, and the back and forth is very rich and rewarding, and it's a very powerful issue, and it's going to be sad when this run ends.
I agree. Have you guys checked out Chew at all?
I have not.
You should.
What's wrong with you?
So dive right into issue 58.
Next issue is a good jumping on point.
Yeah.
There you go.
Just read the last two. Double feature.
Yeah, there we go. It's like coming in for the last 10 minutes of a movie. That's all you need, honestly.
Yeah.
That's fine. All right, that's it for the stack.
Yeah.
right, guys. We're going to move on with our next section, which is my favorite section because I get to come up to you guys, the audience, for your audience questions. Yeah. So here's how audience questions work, though I think you probably already figured it out. All you got to do is ask a question either for one of our amazing guests here or for anybody on the panel, and Pete over here will bring you some free comics.
I will.
That's pretty much it. So raise your hand, ask a question, absolutely anybody. You, sir, I saw your hand up first. What's your name? What's your question?
My name is Jeff Newelt, and I'd like to ask both of these gentlemen what you would call the ultimate tech comic. What is the ultimate tech comic?
Ooh.
I don't know what the ultimate tech comic is, but I'd say the ultimate tech journalist comic, right, has to be Transmetropolitan, which, like, I think is the thing that turns a bunch of, like, young aspiring journalists into completely insufferable dicks, but is also a great comic. Should I talk about it more? I don't
good,
know.
You know, good at vamp. Good
yeah, <that's>, I mean, everyone, has anyone not read Transmetropolitan? Then I can boo and hiss you after
yeah,
not knowing
it. Yeah, just give them a quick rundown of what.
Okay, so it's basically about a journalist in the future, and they're evil politicians, but he's sort of like a classic like TV anti-hero where he's like out of control and a drug addict, but also he speaks truth to power, and there's, you know, a lot, and then actually the best stuff about it actually is not the long, the longer storylines, which are just basically him being, you know, great journalist, but like these like random, you know, single issues. Like there's an issue which is about like a woman who's been in cryogenic suspension for centuries, and she wakes up and like the horrible future shock of that, and like those little things I think are probably the best parts of the comic.
Brian, what about you? You got a tech comic? Jeez, pick?
I don't know. I was gonna go with underrated as a tech comic, which is the early Love and Rockets when it was like a weird quasi steampunk comic, yeah. Like flying cars and dinosaurs. Yeah.
All right, good nice. Choice.
Pete, but it would still sort of take place in the 80s. It wasn't like it was in the future.
It was
like
very 80s.
We're 80s punks and there are spaceships.
It was the best of everything and dinosaurs. Yeah.
Pete, what about you?
I would have to say, speaking of dinosaurs, that one comic I remember, maybe you'll remember the name of it, where there was no dialogue at all and just showed dinosaurs. I thought that was very tech heavy.
What?
Remember that
Age of Dinosaurs?
Was that the name of it?
Yeah, Age of Dinosaurs.
I thought it was Age of like Reptiles or something.
Age of Reptiles, maybe. But there was no tech in that, just
exactly. But that's the most tech it can be, right? You know? Like there is no tech, so it's like...
Oh, right.
Let's all just take a moment to process that.
Okay. I was going to say, I'm very thrilled by that. I was going to say Live Wires. I don't know if you guys have ever read that by Adam Warren. This is a book that Marvel put out. I think it was only 4 issues, but it was part of a line of younger teen books that they were trying to launch for a while. And it's basically these people that are kind of cyborgs, kind of robots. Some of them know it, some of them don't. But it was really original, very weird team of Marvel heroes, and that's the only time we ever saw them. It took place in the Marvel Universe, but they never interacted with anybody again. But it's one of my favorite books, and I keep revisiting it every couple of years because it's so good and it's so much fun.
I want to change my answer to Spider-Man 2099.
That's a good one. That's a shock. Yeah. Cool, great question. Let's take another question. You, sir, over there, what's going on?
Hey, what's up?
Yeah, what's your name? What's your question?
It's Rolando.
Hey, Rolando.
Oh, hi, Rolando. How are you?
I'm good. I'm
great. It's good to see you.
It's good to see you, Alex.
Yeah, thanks so much for coming out.
I'm glad to be here. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Fantastic.
I'm very excited. Listen, I'm so excited to have you back. I'm not even going to razz you or interrupt you or anything. I'm just going to let you ask
your
question.
By back, you mean just
coming back then.
For context, well, this is a guy
you.
Who left
I really
for
appreciate
the preacher.
It. All right, I think that's all the time we have.
Come on.
No, all right, come on.
This is for everyone except the guy who doesn't like preacher because I just don't care about his opinion anymore.
Fair.
No, it's for you too. What is your favorite piece of fictional tech, comic book tech, that you wish was real?
Oh.
Wait, so by comic book tech, you mean tech in a comic book?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not like the comic books in the movie Big.
Right. I didn't know if there was like this whole like subgenre of like science fiction about comic books or something like that.
Like something like the Ultimate Nullifier, would that be fair?
Like that.
Yeah, that would not be good though, because Iron Man suit would be pretty good.
Spider-Man 2099 suit.
Sure. I think talking about suits, unstable molecules just in general would be nice because then you could put up an outfit and it would fit you no matter what, just perfectly.
Does this Spider-Man black alien suit count? Because it's alien technology. That qualifies, right?
It's a form of alien suit.
Absolutely. I would turn into Venom in a moment.
Yeah, but it's not technology. It's an alien.
You don't seem like a Venom guy. That would be your like deepest...
Yeah.
Great, man.
What do you think would be the biggest difference between evil you and normal you?
Mustache. Oh, no. I would have another mustache over my beard.
Wow. That's awesome.
Anthony, do you have a favorite
piece? So this is sort of tech. I would say like the sort of rapture, the tech rapture that happens at the end of The Invisibles. Like that is a thing that I wish had happened in 2012, that we had just all sort of like gone up and like lived in this perfectly disembodied, like
the
beautiful
quickening
world. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know. Because it would be great. We'd just all be hanging out in some like virtual reality or something.
Now, can you explain The Invisibles to everybody?
Oh, God. The Invisibles is like The Matrix, but crazier.
Yeah. So Matrix on DMT is probably.
Yeah. I mean, I think this explains nothing about it, but also explains everything about it, was that I think in the first volume, Grant Morrison... he was worried about the series getting canceled, so he printed what he calls like a sigil, which is just like this like weird like drawn symbol. And he said that at the appointed time, we all have to look at the sigil and masturbate, and that will cause the series to be renewed.
And that's so, your favorite technology.
That is my favorite technology.
What just happened?
My favorite technology is magic through... What?
Yeah, the pages all stick together.
That's right.
Wow. That went downhill fast.
Cool. Pete, what about you? What's your favorite piece of tech? Like a big gun or something?
You fucking ruined it. I was going to say a gun that shoots bullets that turns into knives. Yeah, so it shoots mini knife bullets. Knife bullets would be the peak of technology.
Doesn't that seem unnecessary, though? I mean, a bullet's already going to...
Well, no, it's an extra, like, fuck you that I appreciate. You know what I mean?
What
like
about,
extra,
what
like,
about
I
if
took
there
the
are,
time...
This is just throwing it out there. What if it was a gun that shoots bullets that, as they fly through the air, go, ah, fuck you.
That'd be cool. I'd appreciate that. No, I
as
would,
you're getting shot.
I would just, you know, I feel like... you know, it might be a stupid answer, but I like just being able to beam, you know, like Star Trek beaming places. That would be the best. Like, I hate commuting. Yeah. It would just be great to be somewhere. Just boom.
All right. That's fair.
You know,
I'll take it.
Think about how much more we could sleep. You know, get to sleep in that much more. Oh.
Technology isn't about making your life easy, Pete.
What?
It's about giving you cool toys.
Boo.
And dinosaurs.
Right, yeah, dinosaurs. Tech is about dinosaurs. Yeah, what you guys don't understand is most of this, it's a silent book because the dinosaurs are busy texting each other.
Yeah.
Cool. Good question.
Wait, can I change my answer? It's going to be the Jimmy Olsen Superman watch, but only if Superman actually exists.
Oh, that's a good one. All right. Okay. But then he'd be like, what have you done with Jimmy? Snap your neck. All right, cool. You're going to get
the
some
Superman's
free comics.
A dick.
He is. All right, let's get... I think we can take one more question.
Two more.
Two more? All right, you right there. Come on up. What's your name? What's your question?
Liz. My question is, is there one comic book that you love that you hope never, ever becomes a movie because they would just immediately destroy it? There's no way to make it possible.
Good question. What do you guys think? Is there anything that is unadaptable or should not
Jimmy
be?
Jimmy Corrigan.
Jimmy Corrigan?
Yeah.
Because of the way it's laid out, or
it's just a kind of a super depressing, very moody, very dependent on the medium. Nothing would happen in it. It would be kind of like My Dinner with Andre, but like 4 hours long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fair. Anthony, do you have one?
So mine is actually one that is actually happening, which is that you know, I if there's going to be a Justice
League. Wait, sorry, is it Preacher?
No, it's, first of all, if there's going to be a Justice League movie, I'd rather it was not directed by Zack Snyder. But leaving that aside, that it's also going to incorporate elements from Jack Kirby's Fourth World comics, which are some of my favorite comics of all time. And also because it allows me to have this really cool, like, hipster comics tattoo, which is the Mother Box from Mr. Miracle. and now everyone's going to know what a fucking mother box is, and they're going to be like, oh, it's like from Justice League, right? And I'm like, no!
Well, to be fair, I think they look a little bit different in the movie, so I think you'll be okay.
You should, right. You should get a tattoo of the symbol where when everybody looks at it, they have to masturbate.
There we go. Just, and I'm
why?
Just, like,
we worked so hard to get away from that. Like, we were really starting to get back on track.
Pete, what's a good thing that you'd like to masturbate to? I think that was the question.
That's not the question.
Was that the question?
A gun that shoots knives.
Yeah. A gun shoots knives. Who doesn't masturbate to that? I feel what's for me, the art is really what makes something not want to be put in a different medium, you know, for a television or movie, because how do you really represent that? And really beautiful art can kind of take you to different places. Day Tripper for me is that kind of perfect combination of art and writing in such a magical kind of weird way that I wouldn't want it to be fucked with. But backup answer would be Saga. I love where it is, and I'm really hoping nothing's
going on. I was about to say that, but just sort of broadly, a lot of Brian K. Vaughan stuff. I'm really excited that Hulu is doing Runaways. I can't wait to see what's happened with that, because it's the Marvel Universe, and they'll do great stuff with it, and it'll tie into the over Marvel Cinematic Universe. But Brian K. Vaughan's looks like Why the Last Man, and particularly Saga, and a couple of others like that, they're essentially comic books. Like, he's formatted them to be comic books, where there's usually a big splash page at the front, big splash page at the end. They're formatted for that 20 to 22 pages. And yeah. Saga in particular, the way that they've done the lettering and the way that Fiona Staples works it into the art is so perfect and so essential to the page. It just doesn't need to be adapted into another medium. That said, if there's a Saga TV show or movie, of course I'm going to watch it. So there you go. Cool. Good question. I think one more. You, sir, come on up over here. And what's your name? What's your question?
Morgan. My name is Morgan. And I was wondering for you guys, for comic, for like independent comic apps such as Webtoon or something like that, that's taking new writers and just making really small web comics about them. Do you see a future in basically curated web comics as an industry? Or part of the industry, yes.
Gotcha. All right, good question. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, I think the easy answer is that there are a lot of web comics out there, and it makes sense. I mean, obviously, we need some gatekeepers, we need content curators. Right now, Comixology kind of has a stranglehold. I mean, they, you know, not only through their own app, but they've also partnered with pretty much every publishing company. There are some independent publishers that have partnered with them. I think Fantagraphics has a deal with them. But if there's a really well-made content portal, specifically, again, getting back to the idea of content created specifically for that medium, I think it could definitely be successful.
I agree. I do think that like the way that gets promoted is going to be really important, because I think sometimes the way a lot of these things are pitched is like, this is going to be great for artists, and it's a bunch of like things you've never heard of, and I think, which is like all great, but it can start to really edge towards, you know, eat your vegetables. And like, I just think it has to be like, fundamentally has to be a place where you find great comics that you love, and then everything else has to be, everything can follow from that. But if it's just, you know, like, oh, this is a virtuous app, then I think that's going to create, then it's not going to really resonate with people.
I would like to see publishers start kind of rethinking their model in the way that we've seen a little bit in like the music industry, for example, and start to think about, not that the music industry is a good model for financial success, but start to think about things as being digital first and not just repurposed content.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Pete, anything you want to add?
No. Thank you for asking, though.
No problem. That's it for your audience questions.
Hey.
All right, guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek.
Yeah.
We like to call it that because there's been a whole week since our last show, and we talk about geeky stuff on the show. Pete,
that's right.
There you go. I just wanted to explain it to you.
Thanks.
I don't think we've actually ever said that out loud on the show, so I thought it was important to clarify.
But we use this time to
talk about some movie and TV news and other topics. First thing, this is something that happened this morning. We're very excited about it. The Tick has been picked up to a series on Amazon. That's exciting. We had Griffin Newman, who stars as Arthur, on the show a couple of weeks ago. He was real nervous about it. Turns out he didn't need to be because it got a full season. What are you looking forward to, Pete?
Well, I'm just looking forward to exploring the world. I mean, it's a little different take on The Tick. I'm very excited about to see where it goes. It's it was a fantastic first episode, but, man, you want more.
Yeah. How about you guys? Did you have a chance to check out The Tick? Are you Tick fans at all?
I'm a huge Tick fan, and for that reason, it's been hard for me to bring myself to watch it.
Start watching,
good.
Bro.
I mean, yeah.
Ben Edlund is still involved,
so,
right?
Yeah. The thing that is fascinating about this is it's from Ben Edlund, who created The Tick, if you did not know that, and he has been the guy that's brought every version of The Tick to TV, and each one has been slightly different. This is essentially The Tick while being a slightly more serious, slightly darker take on it at the same time. Like, both things are going simultaneously, where it's still ridiculous, it's still laugh out loud funny.
Yes, very funny.
It's very focused on Arthur. It gets a little deeper into the characters and their motivations, but there's still a lot of weird, different stuff going on there.
That's interesting, because Arthur was kind of, in the early comics, he was kind of the main character in a way, right? I mean, The Tick was just this crazy guy running around the city, and Arthur was an accountant working out of an office.
Yeah, this adds even more to that, and it even adds the wrinkle. I mean, not to get too into spoilers, but there's the wrinkle of maybe he's imagining The Tick. Maybe it's not quite clear because not a lot of other people interact with The Tick in any way. But Peter Serafinowicz, who plays The Tick, and I was totally surprised by this, he nails the voice and he nails the body and the movements and everything. Yeah. Which
he does the American accent well.
He does a British accent, but it's a Cockney accent.
Carries a chimney sweep.
Oh,
around.
I'm sorry. I was watching Mary Poppins, actually. No. I'm talking about something entirely.
Are the penguins real or are they hallucinations?
Nobody knows. Nobody will ever know.
But I just feel like that's such a crazy thing. Like somebody has gone back to the well so many times, but like, that Ben Edlund is someone that I trust so much that, he wouldn't have done it just for the money. Like, he must, actually, I mean, not that I'd imagine there's, bucket loads of cash in, the fourth version of The Tick, but, the fact that he must see something new to tell there, which is, so interesting. I mean, I guess in some ways it parallels, comic book runs where somebody just sticks with it forever and, the further down you just get these weird variations because, they've been doing it for so long.
Yeah, but even with that, and I mean, I think you're right, you don't really see a creator of a comic book going back and reinventing their whole property from the origin up every time.
Yeah, because that sounds like hell.
Right? No,
what,
it's weird.
What is the budget like on it? Because, it seems like part of the issue with the Patrick Warburton series, they turned it into basically Seinfeld because they didn't have the budget to actually do a real superhero show?
Yeah, no, this is different. I mean, you might remember better, but Griffin was talking about it on the show, and he said that they made an effort to actually do the action things they could never do on the Patrick Warburton show. So there is a scene where the Tick goes in, and bullets are bouncing off of him, and he's fighting guys and throwing them all over the room. There's big explosions. There's a hilarious, tragic set piece involving a spaceship crashing, things like that. So it's really good. It's good. Definitely check it out.
Yeah, the villain is so amazing in it, too. I can't remember the name of the actor's name.
Jackie Earle Harley.
Yeah, Rorschach.
Harley. Harley. Yeah. There we go. He's very good. All right, let's move on to another show that was on this week. Gotham had an all-new episode this week.
Yeah, it did.
Pete, what's going on in Gotham?
Well, I'm a fan of Gotham. It also drives me mad. I'm fine with the fact that they're like, okay, what we're going to do is Gordon is the Batman before Batman was in Gotham, and I'm fine with that. And I love this hard, edgy bounty hunter Gordon who just drinks, booze in his coffee in the morning and doesn't give a fuck. It's very enjoyable right now.
Here's my biggest question. Maybe I'm being super naive, but I feel like I always notice this when people are on TV shows. They are constantly drinking scotch and whiskey,
right,
and somehow still performing their jobs and talking to people, because I feel like if I was Gordon in this situation, I'd be like, Batman, and then fall asleep, and that's it.
Right.
But I guess that's why
I'm not a
superhero.
But when you're drinking that much, your tolerance goes up, so,
that's true.
Yeah, I probably had a couple of scenes like that, but then
I wish you guys could see Anthony's body language as you were talking about Gotham.
I hate Gotham so much. Well, okay, I haven't.
He clearly has a lot to say.
No, I don't have that much to say. But like, I saw the first episode. And it was just like such complete. I mean, I was so excited, and it was garbage.
Well,
it was
the first episode was sure, yeah.
And then I remember I came home a week later. My like my roommate was watching the second episode, and he had this like notepad on his lap, and I said, "Why are you watching this? This show is terrible." And he said, "I'm trying to understand why this show makes me so angry."
Well, here's what I would say about it. I'm not in total disagreement with you on the first season. I think it had its merits to it. Robin Lord Taylor as the Penguin was consistently great throughout. Yeah. There were some nice set pieces and some good action. But overall, it was very frustrating. And then they wiped it clean for the second season, went full-on Burton insane, and it was great.
Yeah.
If
you hang in there, it's worth it.
Yeah.
I mean, there are parts that still drive you a little insane, but, you know.
The thing that's interesting about the third season so far is it seems to be splitting the difference between, like, the more mob-grounded storylines and going a little crazy. So they have people who literally have superpowers and are dressed in costumes, but at the same time, they're like, well, we, you know, got to have serious conversations about crime in Gotham.
Yeah.
And it does feel, this early on, they're like, maybe make a decision, maybe go with one of those things, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Will we see Batman in costume by the end of the show?
Who the hell knows?
No.
The last scene's going to be him suiting up and then fade to black?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I guess.
Spoiler.
Real good. Yeah.
If they cut off the series, they're like, who are you? And he's like, I'm...
fade to black.
Awesome. That would be very annoying. But I don't know. Whatever it is, it made a huge turnaround from the first season. So
yeah.
I don't know if you feel like
maybe
that.
Maybe don't judge a show after watching one episode.
Or
that's
two.
What people do. That's a normal human thing.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of judging things by one episode, you're going to kill me, Pete. I had a chance to check out all four of the CW's superhero shows, their new premieres for the season.
Of course you did. Of course you did.
Yeah.
Awesome. I'm happy that you get to do that.
Thank you. Well, my job is to write about TV.
You should get advanced screeners and not share them with somebody you host the fucking podcast with. That's cool. No, it's cool. It's all right, you know?
Thank you for thinking it's cool. I appreciate that. Yeah. I was a little worried how you might feel about it.
Yeah,
but
no, I'm totally cool with it.
That's good. So, what do you want to know about? What should I talk about?
I don't...
Flash, Arrow, DC, Legends of Tomorrow, or Supergirl?
Oh, my God, you fucking ass. Are you serious? it's like you live in the future and come back just to taunt me.
I guess so.
You want to get back to the masturbation talk at this point.
Oh, no! Why would you do that? It was a good couple of
minutes.
Well,
I will say very quickly that speaking of mixed seasons, huge fan of the first season of The Flash. It was that first season that was my
amazing.
Favorite show the entire time that was on. Second season hurt my heart a little bit.
Yeah.
It was very mixed. There was a lot of stuff to like about it, but I wasn't in love with it. Third season, we're back. The pilot, the premiere is pretty much perfect. It's everything you want out of it. They literally wipe the stuff clean because we're in Flashpoint now with a new timeline and everything else. But it's comic booky, it's emotional, it's funny, it's great.
Wow.
Absolutely great.
Well, give us the rest, asshole.
Sure. Supergirl, also very good, really solid. It feels like it picks up right from the
first
season.
Did we get Superman in the first episode?
Yeah, Superman's in the first episode.
That's so weird.
Yeah, and he's not bad. He's pretty good.
Yeah.
He's a better Clark Kent than he is a Superman. There's Tyler Hoechlin from Teen Wolf.
The smile you have on your face is so creepy.
Was he a better wolf or teen?
What?
Is he a better wolf?
No. He's a wolf Superman in the show as well, so it's a little weird. But it's good, and there's some fun moments. There's some emotional moments. It's a good show.
And the show doesn't feel different on the CW?
No. I don't think so. There's even like a joke. It's not a joke. In the opening recap, they have a line where it ends with her saying, like, and it's so good to finally be home.
Ooh.
And it does feel right, where you're like, yeah, this should have probably been on the CW the entire time. It completely fits. There is some stuff they're setting up that feels like is a little frustrating that I don't want to get into for spoiler reasons. But there's still, if you're looking for good Cat Grant, Kara moments, that's in the first episode.
All right.
If you're looking for action-y moments, that's in the first episode. It's good.
Have you watched the new Archie?
I have not watched the new Archie, but we did have Alex Segura from Archie on the last episode of the podcast, and he was saying it's so weird. Riverdale is so weird and noir and interesting and dark and surprising, but feels ultimately very Archie at the same time.
I feel like I hear that, and I remember I think I was like listening to the podcast, and just like I was like, what, like that doesn't make any sense. That's crazy.
That
Why would
sentence
you
was such a roller coaster ride.
Yeah,
yeah.
Have you seen the? I don't even know if the trailer is online yet.
Only you are allowed to
watch
it.
Yeah, I've seen the trailer for it, Pete.
So. Of course you have.
There you go.
Just the full recap.
Don't touch my chair.
It's weird. It is really weird. But I understand what they're saying, because if you have been reading Afterlife with Archie or any of those riffs, certainly they've been pushing what an Archie show can be.
Yeah, and I would say that, I mean, I've read at least the opening storyline with the Fiona Staples, Mark Waid Archie, and I was definitely like, why are they like updating Archie? That's like blasphemy. Of course, like I haven't read an Archie in like 20 years, so who cares what I think? And then I was like, this is actually great. I mean, it's not like amazing comics, but it's like solid Archie comics with like great Fiona Staples art. So like, you know, maybe I'm ready to be surprised.
Yeah, there we
go. Cool.
Cool. All right. Should we move on?
Yeah. I mean, unless you want, I mean, Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I actually saw, so I don't know if you actually want to talk about it or if you want to pick another show.
Oh, I wasn't sure if you wanted to hear how the Arrow premiere was, since we never really get to talk about.
Oh, yeah. I'll fall for this. Tell me about Arrow.
Well, that's all the time we have. All right, guys. Coming. It's time for our next section, which is trivia. And for that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
All right. This is a part we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for showing up. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics. Who would like $25 free? A simple raising of the hand will work. Yes, you, brave volunteer. Come on up.
Come on up. $25.
While we're waiting for you to get to the stage, I would just like to say Ghost Rider is pretty badass in Marvel Avengers and S.H.I.E.L.D., in case anybody cares my thoughts on that. Hey, by the way, what's your name?
Hugo.
Hugo, audience Hugo. Hugo has an amazing tattoo that I took a picture of and put it up on Twitter. I got a lot of likes and retweets, so thank you for that. In case you're like, hey, Pete, don't just say that. Make him show the tattoo. Sure, go ahead, Hugo. Show them all.
No, Pete.
No, wait. Look at that. Isn't that, it's fucking awesome.
It's sort of thing that plays really well on a podcast.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. This is making great radio, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Come to the live show. It's better. Cool. All right, so how this works is I'm going to read you a question, listen to all three possible answers, get all three questions right, and you'll win $25. Today's trivia is on TechCrunch, so as long as you know everything about their website, you'll be fine.
Awesome.
Here we go. Question number one. TechCrunch was founded in what month in 2005? Is it A, June, B, July, or is it C, the December to remember? So it's either A.
It's A.
Or it's B. Yeah, nice job. All right. He really knows his stuff. Here we go. Question number two. What is the name of TechCrunch's open database? Is it A, TechBase, B, CrunchBase, or is it C, Moon Patrol? So it's either A, don't pick A. Or it's B.
B.
Yes, you are correct. It is CrunchBase. Here we go. Last question. TechCrunch's big break came when they broke the news of YouTube's acquisition by blank. Is it A, Google, B, Bing, or is it C, Ask Alfred? Which we all know came before Ask Jeeves. Yes, you are correct. I didn't even have to help you. Google, congratulations. $25 free is yours.
You could have just said Ask Jeeves and then...
You know, I was trying to be funny, so I went with Alfred.
All right, well, good luck with that. Guys, as we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what's the one comic you're looking forward to tomorrow?
Oh, you son of a bitch. You're going to make me just say one? All right. I'll say Blue Beetle number one, Hellblazer number two, and Totally Awesome Hulk number 10.
Cool. Anything you want to say about those three comic books to get people to buy
them? I'm looking forward to them. I'm looking because I don't know yet, you know, because I get to consume when it actually comes out. I don't see anything ahead of time.
Sure, but you have an idea what the comic was about before it.
Sure, but yeah, I mean, it's a whole brand new book, so you don't know what direction it's going to go in. Unless it's a Punisher comic, because it's the same every time. And it is great every single time.
All right, I'm looking forward to Lake of Fire number 2 is coming out tomorrow from Image Comics, I believe. That book, it takes place during the Crusades. The first issue was a slow burn of setting up all these different characters, knights and other people, hangers on.
Why are you pointing at me going like, you know, other people?
Oh, inquisitors. There we go. That's okay. What I was trying to think of. And a couple of other people during the Crusades being sent out on this mission to investigate this town that they think is committing heresy. Turns out they're not committing heresy. They're actually been invaded by demons from another world. And the first issue was double-sized, so it took so much time to actually set up these characters and their lives and what they want, that it's great. I mean, going into the second issue, you actually care about these people who are about to get their faces torn off by space weasels from another dimension.
Whoa.
It's an awesome setup, and I can't wait to see what happens next. Anthony, what are you looking forward to?
I'm going
to
go with a really basic answer, which is this collection, Wonder Woman, A Celebration of 75 Years. So when I was growing up, I mean, those greatest stories ever told, which is also an amazing title, Batman, the greatest stories ever told collections, those were like some of my favorite books that I read over and over again. Mm-hmm. The new versions, which are Superman, Batman, Celebration 75 Years, I've really enjoyed. Wonder Woman, honestly, is a character I've never completely got, so I've been kind of waiting for this because I feel like, oh, maybe I'm like finally going to get it. Or, you know, maybe not.
Well, Brian, Wonder Woman has been great right now. It's also coming out.
It is.
Yeah.
Thanks, Pete.
I'm gonna pick a cop-out like Anthony and go with the DC Commandy reissue hardcover. There was a brief moment where we had access to Comixology's DC app at a site that I used to work at, and the first thing that I did was read all the Fourth World stuff and read the Commandy stuff, so it'd be nice to get that in print.
Cool. I think it said it's actually going to be one of those artist editions, too, so you actually get to see Kirby's pencils.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Wow.
Plug some stuff. What should people check out? Brian?
TechCrunch.com, Crunchbase, Crunchbase, Moonbase.
Yeah, our amazing story about Google acquiring YouTube.
Good story. You have a podcast.
Yeah, I have a podcast called RAYL. You can check it out. It's RAYL.tumblr.com. It's through Boing Boing. Lots of we're approaching the 200th episode in about a month or two. Lots of interviews with cartoonists and authors and musicians.
Cool. And Anthony, what about you?
I already got my plugging out of the way. Love Songs for Monsters, published by Youth in Decline.
All right, very cool. A couple of things before we go. First of all, starting next week, we're going to be in the same space, but if you're coming to see the show live, it's at 8 o'clock now, which is cool. Still an hour long, so, you know, get some rest and then come over and see
us. Speaking of that, if you want to get here a little early, there's also going to be a really cool sketch show beforehand that is all comic book themed So, in honor of New York Comic Con, come check that out. That's going to be 6:30 here. I also wrote one of the sketches in it, so it's going to be fun.
All right, very cool. Also, the show is free to come see and free to listen to, but it does cost us a little bit of money to do. Mm-hmm. So if you'd like to donate, if you're here live in the theater, we have a literal hat over there. You can drop a couple of bucks in. Or if you're listening online, Patreon, we have a Patreon account where you can get some fun prizes, stickers, swag, other things. Check that out, patreon.com/comicbookclub. More importantly, next week we're going to have a big show, which you definitely shouldn't come to, Anthony, with David Mazouz and Sean Pertwee. We from Gotham are going to be here. That's Bruce Wayne and
Alfred.
You can save your Ask Alfred joke.
Yeah, I'll save it
for Sean Pertwee because beautiful.
No, I'm going to come and I have a lot of audience questions.
That's going to be awkward. All right, but you come, please come check that out. That's next week. What else do you want to plug, Pete?
Friend us on Facebook so you know about all the amazing guests we have on the show.
Yep, check us out on Twitter at Comic Book Live. Check out the website comicbookclublive.com, nerdist.com for the podcast and more. A couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank Anthony and Brian for being on the show. We want to thank our fabulous interns Ebon Bell, Tauber Dar, Craig Fletcher, David McKay, and Riley Trahan. We want to thank Boothman Prime. But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night at the Pit Loft in New York. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks for coming out.